how do you predict the weather?
How do I predict the weather? I believe in the next couple of days it's going to turn to sunshine and about 60 degrees. It's going to be beautiful.
Who do you look to for the weather, though?
Who do I look to?
Yeah, like, who, you know, where do you get your source to
I get my source from the old people that come in and tell me what's happening. The people that have been here all their lives. Yeah.
And where do they get it from, do you think?
I couldn't tell you.
Huh.
Somewhere.
On this episode of Curious Lightning, we explore the weather. This episode of Curious Lightning is proudly sponsored by Blue Star Coffee Roasters. Blue Star, always good. And please consider supporting this program. It is your assistance that makes it possible. Got an idea for a show? Visit us on the web at www.curiouslightning.com.
How do I predict it? Like, what are my methods of prediction? Or what do I predict it's going to be?
Both.
My knees. No.
Do your knees swell up?
No, I don't think about the weather.
At all?
No.
Well, how do you know what to put on when you go outside?
I put on the same inappropriate clothing every day.
Inappropriate for the weather or inappropriate for other people?
Sometimes both. My shoes are always inappropriate.
Did you happen to notice the music that's been playing for the last few minutes? Yeah, that music. It's the same music that you'll hear wherever you go around the world when they're showing the weather on television. CNN, Sky News, the Weather Channel, any of it. It always has that contemplative upbeat sound, rhythm, as they punch the numbers up on the screen of the temperature in Sydney, Tokyo, the weather in San Francisco, or in Mexico City. So the weather, it makes us think about what we're gonna wear, maybe how we feel this day, but ultimately, we always have a story for the weather, don't we?
No, I've got pelted by hail riding a bike, but that's the extremity.
Several years ago, we had the great summer storm in St. Louis, and it put out the electricity in my entire apartment building. So I had to walk the dog down 6 flights of stairs and back up, just stick her outside, and try going to my mom's house. And her neighborhood had electricity except for one house, which was hers, because a storm blew a tree down and crushed our garage, took out all the power lines. And they offered to let me sleep with my mom, my stepdad, and all the dogs and cat in one room. And I chose to sleep in the basement on the concrete floor, which is pretty nasty and wet, but preferable. And it's a pretty awful summer. Weeks without electricity, and it's very hot. Second only to the great summer flood of 93, 94, where there was water all the way up to the arch.
Okay, so we complain about the weather. Who doesn't? But let's go back to that first guy's comment. Here it is again.
Who do I look to?
Yeah, like, who, you know, where do you get your source to?
I get my source from the old people that come in and tell me what's happening.
Rain, rain, go away, come again another day.
Well, here in the Valley, we do just that. We look to Bill Biddle, our resident amateur meteorologist, to tell us just what the hell is going on above us.
The way to get into weather forecasting is really quite simple. You have to observe. You've got to look feel, think. And the key to good weather forecasting is cloud analysis and cloud prediction. I mean, it can't rain without cloud somewhere. I mean, I've seen it pour rain here with sun shining, and the clouds are way over there somewhere. But you need to be able to identify everything from the cumulus, which is the low cloud, to the alto cumulus, which is the middle cloud, to the cirrus, which is the high cloud. And you need to be able to judge a cumulonimbus, which is a thunderhead, from a cumulus congestus, which is a big cauliflower-shaped cloud. And once you know the clouds and can look out the window, and you don't have to go outside at all, but you've got to be able to tell the clouds. And you, when the clouds thicken and they form stratus and maybe some alto stratus and some alto cumulus and so on, you know it's going to snow or rain, depending on the time of year. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is you've got to know wind and wind direction. Now, you can stand out on a hill somewhere or just in your yard and tell which direction the wind's blowing and how fast it's blowing. And wind blows from a high-pressure area into a low-pressure area. So the direction of the wind is critical. It's going from cooler, denser air to warmer, lighter air that's rising. High-pressure this, low-pressure this. Air going up. So the pressure gets lower. So you have to know wind direction and wind velocity. That's the second thing. The third thing, and these are all things you can do without any instruments, but the third and fourth things require an instrument. The third thing is thermometer. You've got to have a thermometer with you, or you've got to be able to guess the temperature, whether it's 55 or 25. Or whether it's 85 or 40 below, whatever it might be, and either Fahrenheit or Celsius, whichever way. But you need to watch the temperature and tell where it's going and how fast it's going up or how fast it's going down and what's happening with the wind.
It's obvious there's science involved with what Bill's doing. He must have the most regimented scientific process in order to give us the most accurate
steady
of weather forecasts.
If it's falling, you probably are going to have rain. If it's rising, you probably are going to have clear weather and good weather. But all of those depend on clouds first and then the next three.
I saw it written and I saw it say, I think the moon is on its way. None of you stand so tall. Bingo moon, and I get you all on the bingo moon. Yeah, bingo moon. Bing, 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 bing. Bing moon. Bing, 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 bing.
I predict the weather using poetry. And I find a poem that adapts itself to the month I'm writing. Those two poems, the song, the first one, and Felicia Hemans' poem about April morning, predict the weather for April, right there. I mean, you don't need anything else.
So I written and I saw it say, bingo moon is on its way. None of you stand so tall. Bingo moon, gonna get you on. It's a bingo moon. Yeah, it's a bingo moon.
And then in the middle of all of this, my freshman year was at the University of Colorado, where I studied meteorology. And that's where I got my real start in understanding the weather systems of the world. And from that point on, I began to decide that I wanted to be a weatherman, but I would rather be an English teacher or a history teacher.
Why is that? So, why not jump into it?
Well, I wanted to read books. I wanted to read the Odyssey and teach it. I wanted to read Grapes of Wrath and teach it. I wanted to read Hamlet and the other Shakespeare plays and teach those plays. And I wanted to read Lord Byron's poetry and teach Byron. Every one of my columns has at least one poem in it, or one poetic reference. And
now, why do you think that is? Is that
I like poetry, and I love teaching poetry. And I decided about 5 years ago that writing being paid to write a weather forecast once a month, first part of every month. Year after year after year after year, I had to do something interesting. And I also, to predict something on the opening day of a month, to predict the exact weather of the last week of the month, impossible. I mean, I looked at Farmer's Almanac, and I said, Farmer's Almanac is a joke. I mean, they predict a three or four day stretch, but it's complete guesswork. So I decided, rather than have guesswork, what I'll do is, I'll incorporate something where I'll get the mind thinking about something else than a weather forecast. So I sort of try to seduce people into liking the weather by using poetry. I mean, if I could have a movie script in here, or if I could have photographs in here, or if I could have dancing girls in here to attract them to a weather forecast, I'd do that. But poetry is the easiest thing. I predict the weather using poetry. And I find a poem that adapts itself to the month I'm writing. Those two poems, the song, the first one, and Felicia Hemans' poem about April morning, predict the weather for April, right there. Part of reaching adulthood and growing up and realizing that there is a way of forecasting. I mean, you could forecast your own life in one form or another. You know that you're going to have food and that you need sleep and that you need to breathe and you need exercise and so on. And slowly but surely, as we become adults, we realize that we've got to have intellectual challenges, too. And one of the great intellectual challenges, I think, is experiencing the world around you. And in one form or another, you look out and you see you learn the names of trees, or you learn the names of birds, or you learn the names of mountains, and therefore you should learn the names of clouds. And you should be able to be a part of the nature that's around you. And trees take time to grow. Clouds don't. They can develop pretty fast and they can disappear pretty fast. And you need to know what makes them develop, and you need to know what makes them disappear. And all of that is part of an intellectual challenge in becoming an adult. And I think the reason why people are interested in it is because they see the life around them more than just people. They see it as frogs and fishes and birds and trees and mountains. And it's somewhat like Gary Snyder's poetry. And if you read his poetry, as I try to read his poetry often, he grasps what it is in the world around us, whether you're a logger or a fisherman, whether you're a smoke jumper or a policeman, you have something that connects you to the world around you, that is not just people, but it's leaves and sounds. I can remember there are two key lines, something about what man has made of man. Nature is, I didn't know the poem that well anyway, but it's something about if you go out and smell the flowers and look at the trees and hear the birds and smell the breeze and so on and so on, and then you think of humanity and you say, what has man made of man?
Ice in it, be it wine, water, iced tea, coffee drinks, always ice. And then I started using the snow from out the front door this winter, and that went for about a month, but then started getting melty and changing colors in the snow and kind of gross, so I decided, well, the tap's pretty cold, I'll just stick with that. And now I don't even think about it. I don't even need ice. So I guess I've weaned myself off of one of those barriers. And despite not having an air conditioner and perhaps not wanting to buy one this year, I'll be one step closer to a hot summer and maybe finding something out there.
So that was John. He was describing his experience from being in St. Louis earlier in the show, if you remember. The air conditioning was out, weeks and weeks of high temperatures and a heat wave and sleeping in a basement. John had what's referred to as the double rainbow moment. And to highlight this, actually, is the Double Rainbow Guy. He's a man on YouTube that had over 26 million visitors. But I'll let him explain. Whoa, that's a full rainbow. All the way. Double rainbow. Oh my god. It's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa, that's so intense. Whoa, man. Wow. Whoa. 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 Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Whoa. Oh, wow! Woo! Yeah!
God, look at that. It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my God, it's full on double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh God. What does this mean? Oh. Oh my God. Oh. Oh God. It's so bright. Oh my God, it's so bright and vivid. Oh! 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 It's so beautiful.
I tried to get everyone I knew, my friends and family, to go on YouTube and look at the double rainbow, but the original one. And I don't know exactly how to find the original, but it's the best one. And the double rainbow is pretty amazing. And it'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry. And, you know, it's authentic. It is real. It's about as real as it comes.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow all the way. Double rainbow, oh my God. Double rainbow, it's a double rainbow. It's a double rainbow all the way down. Oh my God, what does this mean? It's so bright, so vivid. Double rainbow, it's so intense. Yes. What does this mean? It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. That's a whole rainbow now. Ah! Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Yeah, yeah. So intense.
Hello, my name is Cecily, and I will be auditioning for the part of Electra.
And do you have a monologue prepared for us?
Should I give this to someone first?
Yeah, you can just hand that right to him.
There you go. Yes, I will be performing Double Rainbow by Hungry Bear 9562.
Okay.
I'm just going to take a second. Whoa! That's a full rainbow, all the way. Double rainbow, oh my God. It's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa! That's so intense. Whoa, man. Oh, whoa. Whoa! Whoa!
like a triple rainbow. Oh my god. It's full on double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my god. Oh god. What does this mean?
Said this video had over 26 million visitors and inspired humans to create their own poetry, all from this man being so moved by the formations of two rainbows in the skies above him.
Music is a way of, whether it's classical music or ragtime or whatever it might be, going to symphony or going to a Bob Dylan concert is a way of relating to the magic of what human beings can create. And as well as doing that, walking out your front door and smelling the air and seeing what direction the wind is blowing. And what is it? Bob Dylan has a line, I think, you don't need a weatherman to tell you what direction the wind is blowing. So even Bob Dylan and all the rest are weathermen of some sort.
Completed an episode. Curious Lightning. Our theme today, the weather. I'm your host,
thank
Dakota
you for
LaCroix. Stay in touch.
This is Curious Lightning.
See you next time.
I'm your host,
a special thanks here to KTRT.
Thank you for...
As you said before, when it's raining, I feel sad, or when it's sunny, I feel glad. The Buddhist philosophy is, and the American Indian philosophy is, every day is a good day. I think carrying a poem in your pocket, these two April poems, would be a great way to have the month of April in mind.
that night.